this reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Together.
Lovely. That is Summer Song by Amanda Gillespie. Amanda Gillespie. And what a lovely, bright, chirpy pop song for a day such as this. Welcome. You are here listening to Breaking Waves, a show for the waking brave. And I'm Jeff, and you are?
I am Shay.
And you're on Eastside
89.7.
Today's special guest on Breaking Waves is Amanda Gillespie. Amanda is a multi-artist with a career in acting, music and writing. As an actor, she has done improvised happenings and short plays. She has directed plays and acted in lots of shows, from student films to Australian TV dramas like The Code and Secret City with Jackie Weaver, and the film Joe Cinque's Consolation. She has played mothers, monsters, bureaucrats, detectives, policewoman, and villains. As a musician, Amanda is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, pianist, and drummer who has performed folk and rock music for over three decades. And as if that is not enough, Amanda is also a writer. Her children's book, My Visit to Tilba, is set in the heritage-listed town of Tilba on the south coast and sells very well. Please make welcome to Breaking Waves, Amanda Gillespie! Oh.
Thanks, Jeff. Oh, thank you.
Can you hear that stadium?
How lovely.
Is that the stadium, the rock stadium?
I don't think I've got any more to say after that wholesome, thorough introduction. It's very nice. Thank you.
How long have you been an actor?
Well, let me start off by saying I'm not a big star. I'm not very professional. I'm just an ordinary person.
Yeah.
That just decided to take a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
I've done, what was your, was it to do with music, Shay?
My Uncle Jerry's an actor.
Yeah, that's right.
He's been doing since 1976.
That's right. And I've met him.
And he wanted to be in Hollywood.
That's a whole other question, too.
That's a hard one.
You mean to say, Amanda, you didn't turn up today in a limousine full of cocaine?
Yeah.
You're an ordinary actor,
ordinary person.
Ordinary sounds a bit ordinary, doesn't
but
it?
But not many people are brave enough to try and stand up and act and perform in front of people. And I think that's my key message today, is that you can, whoever you are, you can go and get some acting lessons, which I didn't plan to at all, which is a story I can tell you. And it's very good for building your confidence.
Sure.
So I can start by saying I took my young son, Julian, who was 6 years old at the time, to an audition for The Code, which was a big Sydney TV series.
Yeah.
Actually, just three parts, but it was a thriller, very high profile, big actors, big name actors in it. And they needed extras. So I went along in my government outfit because I was in Canberra and I worked as a bureaucrat. And my son auditioned and then they said, would you like to audition? And I said, oh, okay.
Nice.
So I just suddenly was in front of a camera and a panel of people and I said a few lines and they said, you're in.
It's one of those fantasy moments, isn't it?
It's just bizarre. It's like, and I was suddenly a featured extra.
My son
didn't get the part.
Yeah, right.
I just fell into it by a chance opportunity, Shay.
Were you an extra actor, like, camera roll?
It was on. I was next to. I ended up 3 weeks later, standing next to one of the key actors who was a minister in the Code show, and I was the minister's advisor. I just wore my government bureaucratic.
Can you name
outfit.
The key actor? Was it Russell Crowe?
Chelsea Preston Crawley. Ooh, yeah,
I haven't heard of her. Yeah, but she's probably big.
And there were other big actors in there, like David Wenham and
you know, it's funny
different
you,
people.
You say that people are scared of acting, and it's one of those three things people are terrified of: being naked in public, speaking in public, and what's the other one? Moving house, something like that. But I find it quite easy to get up on stage and have for years. I've never, I guess I've been driven to do it. But then I'd look at other people and go, oh, you do telemarketing? You ring up and harass people? Or you ask them, that is terrifying. The idea of inflicting myself upon people, that's my brand of terror. Yeah. And other people go, oh, how do you get up on a stage? Well, that's easy compared to ringing up and trying to sell people toilet cleaners, speaking of which, Shane.
It set off a string of different opportunities. And I always admired those spruikers in shops. Okay, come in. You know, there's
come
a bargain
in, folks,
here.
Hey,
yeah, come in. You've got a few minutes. I've lost my spruiking sentences at the moment.
It's normally in a Cockney accent,
but I
isn't it? Johnny LaRue's knocking down shoes. Come in, ladies. They're half price here today.
That's it.
Hello.
I did some preparation. Sorry. Preparation is key in acting. And I actually ended up being a spruiker for a while.
You did spruik.
And I couldn't believe I was doing it because I saw those people and I thought, gee, they're drawing a lot of attention to themselves. They've got to make sales.
How long
I just practiced.
How long did you
learned some key lines. Sorry, Shay. Learned some key lines and was a spruiker. So I suddenly was an actor. I was a director. This set off over the last 10 years, all these different opportunities just from this chance encounter. I never wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, just fell into it.
I think we should talk about acting poet. Like, you know, imagine the greatest actor maybe the Gladiator movie. Do you know the man who was from New Zealand?
Gladiator.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Do you know?
Is it Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe. And he owns he owns the football team. He owns the Rabbitohs.
He does.
Does he still own the Rabbitohs?
Yeah, he owns
the Rabbitohs. He probably sold them, didn't he?
He owned the Rabbitohs.
I remember him giving me a wave one day.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That was.
I
like Russell Crowe. Yeah. I think he's got a lot of authenticity in his acting. He gets headlines for some temper stuff, but
he's fun to bag.
That's
but,
just
you know,
a one-off,
like, you know,
really.
Good on him. Good on him.
I wanted to ask you, what age did you become actor? Did you become when you were 16 or 18?
Well, musician was when I was 8, learning the piano, and then I moved to guitar and singing, and then acting was much later, about 10 years ago.
When you were older?
When I was in my 50s.
You were in your 50s?
Yeah, so I started late. That's another thing that I like to promote.
Did you start acting when you were 50? About 50?
Around there.
Jeff. How old did you start interest in radio?
I started, excuse me, I'm frogging my throat. I started acting when I was about 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to get up on Mum's kitchen table and recite nursery rhymes for her friends, and I was apparently good at it. I've got no memory of that.
But what age did you become professional actor?
Professional.
Yeah, on the radio and the poet. Did you start in late 20s?
Interesting what the definition of professional would be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'd say professional is you actually make a living out of it.
Very difficult.
Being a poet, primarily, it's probably one of the most suicidal professions economically you could ever not wish upon your worst friend. But, you know, it's a compulsion and a drive.
Did you start at least about 20 after 18 when you left school?
We're talking to Amanda, but we have probably similar backgrounds. And I played music. That was my prime driver from the age of 16 until about 30. And then I discovered performance poetry. And bits and pieces of acting here and there.
I worked on community radio too. You just get in that arts field and then you meet other people that expose you to other opportunities. Takes off from there.
I'm wondering, Amanda, would you be able to play us a live song? As opposed to a dead song, but in the flesh.
I'd love to.
All right, terrific. Okay, this is terrific. Our special guest today, Joni Mitchell, who flew in all the way from Montreal and has very tired arms.
Thank you. Yeah. That's all right. It's a beautiful city. I love this city.
Thank you, Joni. It's gorgeous. She's gonna play one of her biggies for us, I believe. Is it? Take it away, Joni. Amanda.
Oh, thank you. Paved paradise, bought up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, bought up a parking lot. They took off trees and put them in a tree museum. Charged all the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Ooh, ba 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 ba. Ooh, ba ba ba. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on the apples, but leave me the birds and the bees, please. Go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and the big yellow taxi took away my man. Don't it always seem to go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Ooh, pa 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 pa. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Ooh, pa 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 pa. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Wow! Oh, Joni Mitchell in the studio playing live on Breaking Waves. That's fantastic, Joni. I'm amazed that you came.
A few little slips, but I haven't done it for many years.
No, that's fine. You're better than Ed Sheeran. We had him on the show, and, you know, Ed was all right. But, people, I can't really lie to you. It's not actually Joni Mitchell. It is Amanda Gillespie, our very special guest on the show today. Yes, Shay.
Has your son done painting? Has he done a draw or something?
Just some good little kindergarten drawings of aliens
and
dinosaurs.
Was he into Toy Story? Like, you know, the dinosaur aliens?
Oh, yes. Yes, he liked that.
Well, what about you? You're a multidisciplinarian with your music and your acting. Do you paint as well? You make art?
No, that's something that's not on my skill set.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
Yeah, that's funny.
You can't do everything, can you?
Like, it's just something I cannot do.
Your first book, you've got a book on the little town of Tilba.
Have you heard of it, Jeff?
I have heard of Tilba, and my knowledge of Tilba extends to the fact that years ago I went to Wallaga Lake on a holiday, and the only thing I remember is a little cheese factory.
That's it.
In Tilba. So, and I know there's a Tilba and a Tilba cheese, and it's famous for its cheese and its dairy.
It's interesting.
What attracted you to Tilba? Or Tilba? Because there are two towns. There's Tilba Central.
Yeah, Central Tilba and Tilba. Yeah. So I, I've lived in Canberra most of my life. My son was born in Canberra, but I wanted him to see a different type of city because Canberra is fairly artificial. It doesn't have a very long history, and it's to do with its place of government. And so you don't see all the people working in industry and manufacturing. I just wanted to take him somewhere else that was different, but a beautiful place, like a coastal environment. Mm. So I, at age 8, enrolled him in the Tilba school. I took some leave from work and enrolled him in the school. And he really loved that. It was just two classrooms and in the beautiful area.
Tiny community, isn't it?
Beautiful pastures with the most beautiful Jersey cows there, gorgeous, just so lush and beautiful. And I had nothing much to do, so I would wander around the town, and I saw some beautiful artwork in the Mockingbird Lane antique shop, And I asked about the artist, and they said that's a local artist who's she's actually deaf, and which was not relevant, but
yeah.
I ended up contacting her and paying her to do some paintings for my Tilba book. So she produced the most beautiful artwork, which I think sells the book more than the content.
So it's for sale in Tilba?
In Tilba. I've sold hundreds of copies there from one shop. So.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's been quite a few years, 10 years or so.
Yeah, right.
But they do sell, which is great.
How much is, how much is the book?
$10.
Like $10?
$10? You must be crazy.
Is it a little book. Is it the same price as Tug Dougie's book? Yeah. No, it's $10. No.
It's not a competition, Shay.
No, but it's the same price. But I want to say that you made 400 poetry on your book. Remember 400?
Yeah, I got 400 poems in my book. Yeah. In my little book.
How many words in your book is? Yeah. I mean you.
Oh, mine.
You.
sorry.
Oh, we're mates. We know
you. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know your wonderful mother around. So it's not too many in that one. It'd be about 300. But
words.
In my new book on Sydney, it's 1,500.
1,500?
So what aspect of Sydney are you going to be writing about?
The heritage aspect. So there's colonial. So many different, we touch on a little bit of everything, but it's got a slightly poetical lilt. So I want to attract people through the content because I've written it as a teacher and teaching more interesting aspects of Sydney rather than what you often see in children's books on Sydney. You've got the ferry and you've got the happy little notes about the bridge. But this is educational.
Amanda, how long you been writing books? Like, how long you been interested to make books?
Taken 12 years.
12 years.
Because I let it go often. I get started and then I put it off. And then I couldn't find an illustrator for quite a while. And
I started to be interested on Wikipedia in 2008. Oh. In 19th of December, I wrote a Wikipedia when I was still at school. I wrote about my mum's book history. I wouldn't put it on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
Great. What year was that, Shay?
2008.
Oh, good memory.
Yeah, December.
Nice.
Yeah. Amanda, what age did you start? In teenager, when you left high school, did you start it at 18, 19 after you left high school, or when you did it more after you left year 12?
So I did music most of my life from eight. You know how we had the mandatory went from there.
No, man, when you left school, you did focus your career after 18?
I went to ANU and did a Bachelor of Arts there.
Yeah.
And then did a teaching diploma.
I didn't do
a lot of creative work.
No, I left.
But it was there's a lot of creative hotspots in Canberra.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of things to do, I think.
I like Canberra, but I do say this as an outsider. I've never spent more than a night or two there, but I just something very singular about it that I kind of like, and I suspect there's this sort of whole underground.
It's the word, yeah.
Underground
it's,
sort of.
There's an underground creative cultural community.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like in Canberra, I heard about a story when I went to Canberra and visit. There was a video I learned. Oh no, I watched it on TV with my mum. That Will Griffin, the founder of the Steiner, who made Canberra. With circles.
That's right.
That every circle would represent Canberra and makes all the round the Canberra and planned the city.
Yeah,
and
the triangles.
Yeah, the circle each pattern. Yeah. It's like the spiral.
That's right. And that triangle is Commonwealth land.
Commonwealth land.
So when they've got to do changes for any of the highways or maintenance, some money comes from the Commonwealth and anything outside that triangle.
They get out the tape measures.
They battle over that. But also Walter Burley Griffin.
I don't think Sydney ever planned with circles.
No. Sydney grew like a higgledy-piggledy pigsty.
But Walter Burley Griffin and his wife helped design Castle Crag in Sydney. Now that's a very interesting place to visit in Sydney, to look at the kind of progressive design, community. There's no fences, which is what Canberra doesn't have.
Yeah, right.
We don't have fences out the front.
Maybe that's what I've noticed about it, or one of the things.
Yeah.
Walter Burley Griffin. Griffith?
Yeah, Griffin. Yeah, Griffin.
Griffin,
yeah.
Griffin was and Marion.
Was a very diverse, handy man, because there's an incinerator in Glebe, an old, it's been remade, but an old incinerator. And there's a plaque saying, designed by Walter Burley Griffin. So he designed an incinerator, he designed a city, he designed a suburb, which all form this incredible triangle.
Canberra is not that old as Sydney. Canberra's only like 100 years.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's been built since 19...
It was a planned city,
It was only built in 1913 in the First Australian War.
That's when they started it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1901.
1901 was established, but 1913 was the establishment of building the city of the average, the actual Steiner with the circles.
And it was... Canberra was a sheep pasture. There was nothing there.
A sheep path.
And they decided to build this capital city between the two competing cities of Melbourne and Sydney, which everyone knows.
I feel that in Canberra, they put the symbols, like they put the Aboriginal art into the Canberra, in the city, like the represent of the little dots on the pavement when you go into Canberra, Parliament House.
Yeah, in front of Parliament House.
Yeah, with the
near the galleries, they Aboriginal area.
It's a bit sad they didn't win the vote. It's a bit sad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we just have a memory of it.
Yeah, Shay, do you have any more questions for Amanda? Because we're probably running out of time.
Wait a minute. I have one more.
He's reaching deep here, people. He's bringing up this huge wad of paper.
Should you do when it's about sport? What one sport did you like the most?
She's shaking her head, Shay.
Like one favourite sport. Would like one thing you like. Do you like
if
golf?
You were forced at gunpoint to play a sport?
I enjoy swimming. So
you like swimming?
I'm going regularly to Manly Blue Charlton Pool. Would you
support the Australian women's Olympic sport in the swimming?
Yeah, and the women's cricket.
What about the Manly Seagulls?
I've yet to get to one of those.
I wasn't into the sport, but Jeff and I were into sports. Sometimes we talk about baseball. It's not very known in Australia. But did you ever play a lot of Australian sports in Australia when you were at school?
I was a netballer.
You were a netball?
And a swimmer.
A swimmer?
Did a bit of leaping over hurdles.
Did you like skiing?
And it's not too far from Canberra.
My mum likes skiing.
I was the orange boy on the soccer team.
Really?
I got to cut the oranges up and give them to the other players who could play. But anyway...
What is the greatest challenge for beginning an actor in the musician? Any challenges?
Yeah, the greatest challenges being an actor and a musician. That's a good question, Shay. I think it's... we all need a bit of talent, but we're all... talented. If you can sing, you can be a singer.
I think my talent is golf. I'm natural. Oh, yes. I'm very good at golf. I try to beat Jeff and Fionn, but Fionn gets surprised. I hit like Tiger Woods or
incredible thwacker of the ball, Shay.
Yeah, I know.
When you connect with that ball, it just goes out of the park.
Yeah, no, 600 metres when I was at age of 14 when I was at school. But
600 metres?
Yeah, 260 yes, 260 metres at 260 in Dural. Yeah, the Steiner. How many jobs have you ever done?
Yeah. Oh, well, only a handful on TV, on TV series. Yeah. But I've been an extra. It's very, very competitive, but I've enjoyed it. So I've done a lot of student films where I can be the lead person. So you start slowly, you start from the bottom, but it's very, as you said, Jeff, it's very hard to keep up your momentum and confidence when there's you've got to deal with rejection a lot. So the main thing you need is that
tough line.
Perseverance and confidence. And I think I will go back to it. I think now that I'm in Sydney, I do have an agent that I can
use. I feel that acting, the thing is similar to William Shakespeare. Ooh. I have a poet about William Shakespeare, the poet about St. George the Dragon. Have you heard about the St. George of the Dragon?
I want to hear this poem about William Shakespeare and St. George.
It says, go down the dragon, peace being the calm to the dragon. I'm lending my arms to the soldiers that willing to the soldiers of the arms.
Oh my goodness, this is a great monologue.
The soldiers of the arms of the mighty St. George of the Dragon. You know, they have a football team called the St. George the Dragons.
I thought you might be singing the St. George Dragons anthem there, Shay.
The St. George, no, I don't know the song.
We probably have to... probably wrap it up like a big parcel, beautiful, tight little parcel, actually.
Yeah, thank you for talking. Shay and the Jeff Show.
Amanda. It's the Jeff and Shay Show.
Jeff Show. 89.7 FM.
You're listening to Eastside FM, 89.7 FM. And our special guest, Amanda Gillespie, thank you so much for coming in. Let's go out with a melancholy little song. Which
it's one of my favourites.
You liked it, man.
I like
Luca.
Suzanne Vega.
Yeah. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Shay.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. I think you've seen me before.